Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
You gotta be in the world, but not of the world. There's a separation there. We've got to be in the world because we got to show the love of Christ to those that are in the world and bring them in. But you can't be of the world because when you act like the world, why does the world want what you say you've got? You live and look just like me.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick. And what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Welcome, truth seekers, to Truth Infusion. And as Corey just said, this is the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. Always excited to have the opportunity, the grace of God and His faithfulness to have this pulpit, this radio broadcasting time. We're going to do something a little different today, take a little bit of a break from you just having to listen to me and the teaching series we just came out of. And excited about this because in the studio with me today is one of my best good friends, co-laborer in Truth Infusion Ministries. Mr. Wes Belk is with me today. And Wes, you can just say hello to all those that are listening.
Hey, Truth Seekers, it's good to be here with you today.
And Wes is he does several things with the ministry. So if any of you are in the Northeast Texas area and you hear our live radio program on Fridays with KPYN, you'll hear Wes hosting the show there from time to time. He's in the rotation of the host. And boy, that's something we've really fallen in love with doing.
Definitely has been an interesting task to take on. God's blessed us there.
Yeah. Some of you may not realize that the show you're listening to right now, the Truth Infusion Show, isn't live. We pre-record this and send it out to several stations all around, but that show's live. So it's a little bit of a different task for sure. The other thing that Wes does on a regular basis, he's a bass player in the Truth Infusion Worship Band, so he has to put up with me as a music director where that's concerned. And then he's also a teacher and just a preacher for the ministry, and Lord has blessed us with Wes and Joy and his family. So, man, but this is the first time you've been on this program with me.
It is.
And we've talked about it for a long time, and God has His timetable.
We've tried this for a year.
It's been a year now.
It has.
Well, I kept moving, and the studio kept shifting around, and God knew, and here we are.
That's right.
Wes and I have been talking back and forth really for a while about what we might, what the Lord wanted, rather, for us to do this show and maybe in shows to come. And we got to visit for the last 30 minutes, just continuing that conversation. Lord knows what He wants. But let's do this, Wes. I want to start with just a word of prayer. I'm going to get you to do that, man, here in just a second, and pray for the Holy Spirit to take over and just to use us as He sees fit. And then when you say amen, man, we're going to get into a teaching that we have tentatively called the lukewarm Christian.
Yeah.
And we'll see if that is what God ends up titling this time together. But it's a good place for us to start, at least, the concept of what is that and am I that? And if I am, what does that even mean? And where do I go from here?
That's right. What do we need to do?
Yeah, it's a big one. So I'm looking forward to that. Pray for us, Wes.
All right. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we have the privilege to come to You. Thank You so much for who You are, that You're God, You're in control. God, thank You for the privilege to get to be here, to even talk about Jesus, to even discuss who You are, and to just try to learn more about who You are, but to really just enjoy the relationship of who You are to us and in us. So we ask for the Holy Spirit to just work in us right now. We ask for You to lead us. We ask that You would speak through us. This doesn't need to be my words or David's words. This needs to be Your words. This needs to be God's word. And we just ask that You be the truth of who You are. Speak through us. Live through us. Walk it out. And let whoever, if it's even just one, whoever hears Your word, the truth, the life, everything that You are, change a life and make a difference for your kingdom, for your glory, and that's the whole reason we want to do this. So we thank you again, and we ask for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, brother, if we tackle the topic today of what it means to be lukewarm, and is that a modern day concept, or is that just Bible talk? And what does that really even mean? And you and I have been talking, but there's a particular passage in the book of Revelation where this is brought out in no uncertain terms, in ways that is pretty straightforward. And so that's in Revelation chapter 3. And man, let's just start there. In fact, maybe we'll just start somewhere around verse 15 and read a few of these verses, and then just see where the Spirit prompts you to kind of dig into what Jesus is. In fact, these are all red letters to what Jesus is saying to the church in Laodicea at that time and to the church, I believe, today.
Yeah. So you just want me to read that?
Yeah, let's start there. This is Revelation 3, and start, I guess, around verse 14 is the beginning of the letter. So let's start right there.
And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Man, honestly, Wes, we could walk through this almost a verse or two at a time and really just pick out some amazing things. When Jesus is writing to the church in Laodicea, man, this isn't a warm and friendly word right here.
Right.
This is one of really great rebuke and chastening, and is full of warning.
It's full of warning. That's the word I was about to say.
It is. It is an ultimatum in a lot of ways, because, and we'll point this out when we start really in here in a second talking about what lukewarm meant to Jesus when he called them this. And so I want to share maybe the little bit of the little history lesson I learned a second ago about Laodicea, because it's easy. We read the scripture today in our modern times, and we miss so much of the analogy and the illustrations that they would have automatically picked up
right
in their day and age. Jesus himself writes this letter through the Apostle John to the church. I don't know what it would be like if the post office dropped off a letter to you, Wes. Let me just ask you this, Wes. If you go to the mailbox and you picked it up, and there is a letter there, and it is from Jesus himself written to you, and you knew that before you opened it up, that's exciting. And that's nerve-wracking to me also.
Yeah, it might make you just like, I don't know if I want to open that or not.
Man, I know. Some of these letters in the first three chapters of Revelation are very encouraging.
Yep.
Some of them are very, they're nail-biters.
Absolutely they are.
And this is one of those. Interestingly enough, about the Church of Laodicea, and as direct as some of this language is that he uses, because of the condition they were in, they probably didn't even realize how drastic of a of a letter this was.
Right.
So here's what I found out earlier. I was sharing this with Wes just before we started, a little history lesson. And the folks there, when they read this, would have had an immediate understanding of what he was alluding to, and we don't. So this will help us as we talk about what the concept of being lukewarm. Laodicea was the name of the town. It was known for two main things, and one of them was industry. They were evidently, archaeologically, we figured this out. Historically, we've learned that Laodicea was very wealthy and was very big in three branches of industry. One was banking. A lot of money went through there. One of the ancient Roman emperors cashed big checks in Laodicea, we found out historically. Secondly was wool. They had a big wool industry. They were known for a glossy black wool linen, okay? And we don't know if it was dyed black or they made it that way. Historically, we're not sure, but they were known for that, made a lot of money with that. Also, they had a big medical community, was the third branch of industry, and they were known, very famous for their breakthroughs in eye treatments, treatments for eye problems, which he alludes to in the letter, talking about you think you can see, but you're blind. You need to get salve from me, Jesus says.
Right.
In other words, the stuff that you are famous for, that you are, you know, popping your shirt and saying, look at me for, and you're making money on, and you think you're blessed because, your doctors are doing well and the church has got, big givers, and you think that's your blessing. You don't understand that materially you may have something, spiritually you don't have, you're blind. Is what he's saying. And so, big industry. The second thing that they're really known for, which is we're going to dive into the lukewarm right on the tail of this, is this. Their water was evidently awful. First of all, they didn't have their own water in Laodicea or around the area. They had to go 6 miles away to the closest water source. And they had money to make aquifers, in other words, pipe in water from 6 miles away. Which in itself is an amazing feat for 2,000 years ago.
Absolutely. That's
they would have been known. It was an archaeological masterpiece to be able to do that. But the problem is, by the time they piped in water from 6 miles away and it got to the city, to usable aquifers and wells, it was dirty because they didn't have PVC pipes, you know. It was clay piping and that type of thing. It was dirty, it was stale, and it was lukewarm. Okay, so what do you just temperature wise, Wes? Lukewarm means what to you?
Just very comfortable and stale.
Yeah,
I mean it's just a happy place that I'm used to.
Yeah, it temperature wise, it's not hot.
Nope.
It's not cold. It is very room temperature water. I guess is the best way to say that. It is a temperature of water that blends in well with the temperature around it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there's some spiritual implication right there.
Tons.
But what the visitors of to Laodicea, what they realized when they came to visit and they got a glass of water was that the taste and the temperature made them sick at their stomach. In fact, they were known to vomit because of the... It was nasty. We'll just say it like that. They were used to the hot water springs of Hierapolis, which is a few miles away, or the cold water springs of Colossae. But in Laodicea, it was lukewarm and tasted bad and stagnant water. And the only people that could stomach the water, that could drink it and not get sick, were the ones that lived there and were just used to the way it was.
Man, how real is that?
Okay, so in that backdrop, here comes this letter to the pastor at the church to read to the people from Jesus himself. And he says, let me tell you something. This is David's paraphrase, and I'll let you take it from here. Jesus says, let me tell you something. You're not hot. You're not cold. I wish you were one or the other. Isn't it interesting what Christ would say? I'd rather you be cold. In other words, outwardly deny me and be real about it.
Yeah.
Than to be what you are, because what you are is lukewarm, just like the water down at the well, and you make me sick.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking to the church in the city.
He is.
And therein we have a concept now with the backdrop of that. For a lukewarm Christian.
And that they were just used to it. They were so used to the water They were so used to the conditions, they didn't think anything of it.
Yep.
Matter of fact, if anything, they embraced it.
Absolutely, they embraced it,
That was their lifestyle.
Sure.
We're increased with goods. We're doing so well. What else do we really need?
Yeah.
And too many times I have to look and point all five fingers back at myself and realize just a few years ago, that's exactly where I was. And how many people could honestly sit here listening and say, you know what? Yeah, I agree with that as maybe a place where I am right now.
Yeah.
Is I'm just in a place where, you know, I don't want to be hot. I don't want to be on fire for Jesus.
Zealously following him.
Because then I'm going to draw fire from all my coworkers or all my friends or maybe my family.
Family walk away from that Jesus freak.
That's right.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to go be cold, and I don't want to be of the world too much because I'm kind of afraid of what that might bring because I just don't want to go that direction. It's really easier. We get to thinking and we convince ourselves to let's just get lukewarm. Let's just stay in that happy place. Let's stay in that comfort zone where we're used to.
Yeah.
We can go to church, have our attendance, do the things we know we need to do, be good people, try to do right. And then
sure.
We're not being too, you know, we're not being too much of a freak. So we blend in with the world and they accept us too.
Yeah.
Because if we're not careful, I know what happened for me was there was a word that came up. We talked about it a while ago. I was looking at myself, and a lot of people were looking at me as, that guy's nothing but a hypocrite.
Come on.
And that hurt.
Yeah.
When I had to look in the mirror and realize, I really am a hypocrite. I say one thing, and I do another.
Yeah.
That was hard. It was hard to swallow as that lukewarm water.
You know, Wes, maybe to really allow this to get real, from a letter written 2,000 years ago, to an illustration about lukewarmness, would you just give your testimony in about 5 minutes? I know you could be more
right.
detailed with it and
Absolutely.
Do more than that, but just because really this teaching, Truth Seekers, that we're looking at today, it comes through Wes from a very real place that you were.
Super real.
And that's why this is important to him. And really, we're just skimming the surface with the first concepts of lukewarmness. There's a whole lot more that God's given Wes where this teaching is concerned. And we may continue that in a show or two to come. But, man, let's start with just explain lukewarmness from your personal experience and where you were and what that meant and what and how'd you even figure out that you were that?
Okay. Being raised in, and I'll just say being raised in church, I was born in church. My mom had me in church while, you know, she carried me in the womb.
Yeah.
So miracles that took place physically in my life as even a baby, things that weren't supposed to happen took place. So the power of God, the anointing, healing, everything was already taking place as far as what we knew we were supposed to see. I grew up in church, made to sit on the front row. I got to a point where life started happening. You know, around age 14, my parents, when they divorced, I kind of took off down my own way. Later, I came back, and as an adult, I said, you know what? I need to get in church. I've got a family, children. I need to get them in church. So I started trying to walk that out. When I went to started going through the motions, I started realizing that as life hit me, the things that I was going through the motions of being churchy just weren't cutting it. When life's circumstances hit, I thought that I was on fire. I thought I was a hot side.
Yeah. You were really just a hot mess.
That's exactly just a bubbling mess. And I mean, and it was nasty. And I didn't really realize it. I just started trying to figure out, why are life's circumstances so overwhelming to me? Why is the waves of life overcoming me and I feel like I'm drowning?
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, they became so overwhelming that I decided to just turn and get out of church and just go try to find some fun. And
what would you say that you came to a place without actually probably deliberately thinking this or saying this, that playing the church game wasn't doing it for you?
It didn't do anything for
right.
me. Matter of fact, there was a song that I grew up hearing, and it said, "You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name, bound,
mm-hmm.
oppressed, tormented, sick or lame. For the Holy Ghost of Acts is still the same. You won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name." Yet every time I left the church, and I'm not blaming the church that I was attending, But it was my lack of relationship with Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It was not being pursued. He was not being pursued by me, even though he was standing there at the door knocking, like verse 20 said just a moment ago.
Sure.
He was knocking at my door, and I wasn't answering because I was expecting something different. I thought, well, I've been in church all my life. This is just supposed to happen. Good living, prosperity, mm-hmm. the plentifulness, happy marriage, happy life. Everything was supposed to just come to me as a byproduct of me being growing up in church, and it didn't happen. So I lost my hope in that.
Yeah.
And so I stepped out, and I went my own way, and very quickly started finding that the world just wasn't going to cut it either, though I made it a prolonged attempt to try to find happiness. It didn't work. So I got to a point where I was even, honestly, I was suicidal. I was just that way for probably 2 or 3 years, and no one ever knew. I never told a soul. But I got to a point where I never was bold enough to do that because I kept hearing the soft little voice of the Holy Spirit that was still so powerful. Mm. And he said, I love you more than what you're about to do. Every time I even thought about doing something and I started building up the courage to think about doing it, he would say, I love you more than what you're about to do. And I listened to that voice and I felt the power of his love. And it was a real love that I knew was legit. And it was what I was searching for. So one night I stood at my back door and I said, it was 10:30 at night. I remember it well. It was a Tuesday night. Mm, and I just stood there and I said, God, I am tired of playing church. I'm tired of not being hot. I'm tired of not being cold. I'm sick of me. I'm just really sick of me, and nothing I'm doing is working. So would you please just light me on fire with Jesus? Would you just, when I open your word to read, would you help me to just be so excited that I just don't want to put your word down? And when it comes time to even go to work, I don't even want to put that word down. Help me just to feel that fire. And it was nothing really more than that. I just pretty much said those words, and I said, and I know that I feel like I'm lukewarm, and you said that if I was lukewarm, that I was making you sick, and, mm-hmm. and you'd spew me out of your mouth, and I know I'm making me sick too, so I can't fix me with church. I can't fix me with the world. I need you to fix me.
Right.
I went to bed, and the next morning when I woke up, I am telling you, I bypassed every habit that I ever had. I was hooked on a lot of things at that time, a lot of things that I shouldn't have had, a lot of things I shouldn't have been doing. And I bypassed all of those routines, and I went to the back door. The grass looked greener. The trees were kind of swaying in a motion like I'd never seen them move. Some of the weeds that were moving, it was just amazing. The sun came up. It was more beautiful than I had ever seen, mm-hmm. and it was a place that I had grown up looking at for 40 years. And I asked the Lord, I said, what is so different about what I'm seeing outside this door today? And he just softly answered and said, because last night you asked me for me.
Mm-hmm.
You asked me for a relationship, and you opened up the door I've been knocking at your heart.
Yeah.
And now I've come in to sup with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Receive that, and let me have that time that you've asked for, and I'll give you so much.
Right.
And man, I'm telling you, David, since then I've been set free from a lot of habits that the church and the world looks at as no-nos.
Sure.
The biggies, you know, the church likes to call them big five or whatever. There was more than five, but he set me free from every bit of it. I've never had a withdrawal. I've never wanted to pick them back up. The temptation sometimes comes along, and it's just like, hey, man.
Not worth it.
Tasted that lukewarm water.
Yeah.
Let me have some of the hot water and the cool, refreshing that he is. Give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus.
Yeah.
And he has been all I've needed ever since then.
Yeah, and so, you know, just with that example right there, Truth Seeker, I know, Wes, there's so many people that are identifying with the condition that you have represented that you were in. But here's the thing. Man, so many people come in and out of the church, and they're playing the game. They're going through the processes because mom and dad did it, because good people do that, because we're in America and everybody's supposed to be, I'm doing air quotes and you can't see that, Christian.
Yeah.
Right? At least by label, by name. Do you believe in God? Oh, yeah. I mean, how many people on the street are going to say no? We all believe in God in America. And you know what? Here's the thing. They're playing, a lot of times, they're playing a religious processing, playing, acting game. They're going through the motion to identify with something while at the same time living the way that they desire and want to live out in the world. There's a verse that says you got to be in the world, but not of the world.
Yes.
There's a separation there. We've got to be in the world because we got to show the love of Christ to those that are in the world and bring them in.
That's right.
But you can't be of the world because when you act like the world, why does the world want what you say you've got? You live and look just like me.
That's right. I'm already there.
And so here's the lukewarm Christian, I believe. It's the person that identifies by label, at least, with Christ. In other words, they bear a label or a name. They're in the world and they're of the world.
That's right.
They're riding the fence. Mm-hmm. They take churchianity, which I think is really what this more is than Christianity, right? They take churchianity in one hand and the world in the other hand, and they try to get what they need from each side and play the middle.
Yes, they do. That's where I was. I mean, and they look at it and say, well, I'll be in church on Sunday morning mm-hmm. to get my do-good right.
Yeah.
But I'll see you on Friday and Saturday night and we'll do whatever we want to do.
Yeah.
We can't do that.
You know what? It doesn't work in marriage that way either.
Nope.
You can't be married to your wife and have a girlfriend on the side and just pick which one you want, what you want from in this particular day and time. When you do that, you're really spitting in the face of both sides. And Jesus said it this way, I'd rather you be cold.
Yep.
And for Jesus to say, I'd rather you be cold, it's kind of shocking because cold means deny me out loud with your life, with your words, and be real about it. Because at least I can be, there's something about somebody that's at least will be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Or be burning hot for me. But the fact that you're sitting in the middle, Jesus says, makes me sick and I want to vomit.
Yeah.
Because you're playing a game. You're spitting in my face and then asking me for my blessings after you do it.
That's a dangerous place to be.
It is because, you know, in a minute, Jesus is going to start identifying them in very specific ways. And when he says, I'm standing on the outside of the church house and knocking, yeah, boy, we ought to think, what does that mean when the Christ of the church is not even in the church?
Right.
That's dangerous.
Very dangerous.
And with that, we've come to the end of a show. We just got started. Okay, so we're going to have to keep this going because I don't even think we started talking about this yet. But you can see how important this could be. It touches a lot of people. So we'll be back next week. And until then, you keep seeking the truth.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.